an outline.
Mm-hmm.
With me. An outline.
Go ahead.
Yes, I have it here. Of the ideas. Perhaps I could read some portion to you.
Yes.
Simple outline here. Theme. The theme of this exhibit is, what is life and what is the purpose of life? So it is in four sections. The first section, it deals with, it's an introduction. And it deals with the basic topics, what I am and who I am. And then we go to explain what is the embodied soul. First, we show the process of creation, how the world is created.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just giving you a very simple outline now. There's more notes on this. Then we show how the spirit soul enters the creation by Mahavishnu. And then we show how the soul evolves up to human form of life. To all the different species. Then, in the third portion, we deal with the human form of life. And there's five different points. First, the place of the human form in the evolutionary cycle. And number two, human form of life as a turning point. And then three, human life is meant for self-realization, not sense gratification. And four, not executing the mission of human life is the source of all problems. And five, establishment and maintenance of Dharma by the avatars and a disciplic succession. And the last movement is entitled The Perfection of Life.
Mm-hmm.
The last portion of the exhibition is called The Perfection of Life.
Mm-hmm.
And it is comprised of two portions, two parts. The first part is it describes the process of self-realization. And a second part is called the transcendence into the spiritual world, with emphasis on the reality of transcendental variegatedness and personality. That means we're actually going to try to give the viewer an experience of becoming purified. His senses are gradually becoming purified through the process of self-realization. And then we take him through the different spiritual realizations. And then the last part is Vrindavan Leela of Krishna. To show that the Lord is a perfect person and that everyone has a place in his personal service. In the spiritual world. So this is that's the simple outline, and I have another portion here which deals a little more elaborately. I'll just read some of the things to you. So we call the introduction to the exhibition, we call it the overture. And in this introduction, there are several points. The first point is that we are not made up of material. The bodies, we're showing what is the body. So we're showing that the body is made up of different elements. And there's a film that shows how the man is made up of different component parts. We're showing that different organs are just like different machines and mechanical systems. And that life and consciousness, or life is consciousness, and that consciousness is different from and did not come from matter. So we're showing that the heart is like a pump, and lungs are like bellows, and the eyes are like cameras, and the ears like tape recorders, and the brain is like a computer, and so on. But behind all of these machines, there is the witness, there is the seer, or the soul. So he is different from all these different machines. Then we show, we take everything down to smaller and smaller particles, and we bring everything down to atomic structure. And then we show that there does not seem to be any purpose to this. So what is life? Are we just life? My life is full of purpose. So where is the life here? Can we be just molecules? Where does life begin? And then we show all the different, on this portion of the exhibit, we are working with Swarup Damodar and the Bhaktivedanta Institute to make a scientific presentation. This will involve films and dolls and other special effects to show how ridiculous is the idea of material evolution, so-called evolution of matter into consciousness. So Swarup Damodar has his own presentation that we're going to use here. That we've seen some of it during the conference. Then the second exhibit will perhaps be a whole group of scientists, and these scientists are sitting in one room, but they're all from different ages, and each one of them in turn expresses his that they're having so many doubts. This we will take directly from their own quotations, from different biographies. And we show that the scientists are very confused about the origin of life, that they cannot actually explain anything, and they are saying this in their own words. Many scientists have said things like this, Darwin, Einstein. We have a list of 8 here, and we can use their quotes. And they express bafflement, ignorance, and failure to understand life or explain the universe. Then we show how we put man back together out of chemical, so-called. We're going back to the original man, which we have analyzed one man, and now we're going back from the molecular level, again, back to the man. And then we show how the fetus is developing. We're showing that the life and consciousness is there from the very beginning. And then this film, there's a film that shows this, and then that shifts to the display of the changing body.
Light and within how water.
Life begins from water. How is that?
And just as the sea, from within the sea, exhibition of light begins, and the tongue of sea animals, or fish, or similar, the light develops, evolves. Life, she does not generate life, but in this material world, life begins from water.
So we'll show this.
Hine punne puna martaloka. From higher planets, they fall down with water. And then again, like bubbles, begins from water. And reptiles this way, but this then for anyone that drew that man, and drew that man with basic knowledge and godly energy. This is the power.
We have this evolution in our second exhibit. We want to show that in the beginning the Lord was there, and that from by His energy the universe is created, and all the different elements are evolved by His glance.
Yes, everything is there.
In the second part, we're also showing that the Lord, out of His infinite kindness and mercy, has created the material world so that the living entities can be corrected.
Yeah. It is time to come to understand.
We also have a Dalai Lama here of Isaac Newton showing the model of the universe to his friend. And his friend says, "Oh, such a brilliant thing, such a wonderful model. Who has made this?" And he says, "Nobody. It just appeared here."
Hmm.
And he makes his point that it's such a small thing has taken so much intelligence and skill. What to speak of the great universe that we see before us? How could it have come from nothing?
Yes, I get it there. If it is properly exhibited, it is wonderful.
Then we have, we're showing that human and animal, they have the same activity, basically.
Mm.
So, what is the difference between man and animal? We're showing this diorama. And we also show that actually sometimes animals are superior to man because they sometimes have better senses. The dog can smell better, the elephant can eat more, and the pigeon can have more sex, etc. So, again, why is man considered superior if animals have better senses? So then, the third point, we are showing that human life means responsibility.
From miles apart, can find out where it is. God.
Okay.
Hmm.
Very strong eyes.
Hmm.
Right. So,
strong eye, but look inside glass.
We're also showing that a human life means responsibility. Even on an ordinary level, we're showing that a man may break a law and he's punished, but a dog is not punished for breaking man's law. He may cross the street in the wrong place. He is not punished by the law, but the man is. Animals are walking without clothes, but if a man goes out in the street without clothes, he's arrested. So we're making a point here that man is held responsible for his actions, as animal is not. And then we show conclusion of this is therefore human life has responsibility to engage in the pursuit of knowledge and advancing, not degrading himself. Then, we want to show that misuse of this human form of life, or giving up that responsibility, has created a chaos in the world. And the world has become full of madness and fear and pain, and the whole civilization is misguided. We want to show on film, side by side, UN politicians barking in UN and cats and dogs barking in the street. And we want to make another point, that in spite of so much chaos, there is solution, and that solution is Srimad Bhagavatam. And we show a scene from Srimad Bhagavatam on the bank of Jamuna. Parikshit Maharaj is there, and so many sages. And he's inquiring from Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami begins to instruct him. And he explains the whole process of how the living entity has come under the control of Maya, and how he can become extricated. This is a theatrical piece. There'll be some animation.
Second chapter. find out the body.
You register to get the book. Then there will be some dioramas of different avatars. Krishna, Buddha, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, showing how they have come to protect the Dharma, to reestablish the Dharma. Krishna is speaking to Arjuna on the battlefield.
Do you hear?
Yes, on this side.
Okay. You have young people then? Second check. A bad word is falling.
Yam prabhajantam anupetam apeta kritiam dvaipayano viraha katara ajuva vaha putresi tanmayataya taravo vinedus tam sarva bhuta hridayam munim anatosi.
Next.
Translation. Srila Sutta Goswami said, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that great sage, Sukadeva Goswami, who can enter the hearts of all. When he went away to take up the renounced order of life, sannyas, leaving home without undergoing the sacred thread ceremony, his father, Vyasadeva, cried out to him, 'Oh, my son, indeed, only the trees echoed in response to the bereaved father.'"
Next one.
Yasvanu bhavam akila shruti saramekam adhyatma deepam atiti shratam tamondam samsarinam karunayata puranaguyam.
Samsarinam karunayata.
Samsarinam karunayaha puranaguyam. Tam vyasa sunum upayami gurum muninam. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Shuka, the spiritual master of all sages, the son of Vyasadeva, who, out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this Purana, supplement to the Vedas, the cream of Vedic knowledge, after having personally assimilated it by experience. Narayanam namaskritya naram saeva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udiraya. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayana, unto Nara Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Munaya sadhu krishtoham bhavadbir loka mangalam yat krita krishna samprasno yenatma suprasidati. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you.
You say this again, didn't you? That's all right. So you have made the outline as God. Now, this is carefully done. At least in Western countries, it will be very, very wonderful.
As you're trying to fulfill your desires to go there.
Break this time.
Should have gone again?
Yeah.
Long time ago, you went and exhibited in London. It seemed very important to you.
Yes, London. Very good there. Many visitors come.
We have been considering where is the best place for this next big exhibit.
London.
Yes. That would be better than Washington?
No, Washington. London, many hundreds of tourists here now.
Right now there's a place available, a lot, one block from Madame Tussauds in London. We thought that to be in the same area might be a good thing. For some people who come into that place.
Yes, in the center of the city.
There's a big lot available, just one block away. I think she lived on that corner at one time. Just across from the Andersons.
I lived?
When you first went to London, didn't you stay for some time there? Mr. Medley.
Yes, yes.
Just around the corner from there, there's one place available.
That is occupied.
No, it's vacant, completely vacant.
Huh?
There's no longer a building on this place.
That's
Do you want to have kirtan?
Yeah.